BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, the news was horrendous when we learned that over 50 illegal immigrants were found dead in an abandoned trailer in southwest San Antonio. And yet this is just a fraction of the number of deaths that are happening at the border year after year. The Biden administration was warned that if they lifted the immigration measures put in place by the Trump administration, bad things would happen. And indeed they are. I mean, as the Daily Signal reported last week, Sheriff Roy Boyd of, I believe it's Goliad County, Texas, joined with other law enforcement officials to raise alarm about the border crisis that's wreaking havoc in America. Local officials are actually calling it an invasion. The sheriff said this is just a tidal wave of people coming across. It is an invasion. There's no two ways about it. When you as a taxpayer in the state of Texas cannot utilize your own property because of the massive wave of people, it is an invasion. And that's exactly what it is, he said. Well, people are getting carjacked at their gates in their own property. And our guest today recently wrote a column entitled, Biden's Border Crisis is About to Get a Lot Worse. Joining us today, we welcome back Mark Krikorian, a nationally recognized expert on immigration issues, serves as the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. They're an independent, nonpartisan research organization that examines and critiques the impact of immigration on the United States. He has testified numerous times before Congress, has published articles in many outlets, maintains a fantastic website to keep you informed on issues at cis.org. Mark, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So President Biden at one time called the surge at the border just a seasonal phenomena, but all I can say is that this season so far has been 18 months long and no indication of things letting up. So without the filters of the major media, Mark, if you would, just tell us what's going on. What's taking place at our borders?
Well, they're being overrun. This administration advertised during the campaign and then followed through once they came in to office that they would undo everything Trump had done on immigration. And they've undone almost everything. For instance, there was something called Remain in Mexico. That was where if you claimed asylum, they could make you wait in Mexico until your hearing date. The point being, they didn't just let you go and you disappear or get an illegal job or whatever it is. It worked very well, and there were a lot of other steps the Trump people had taken. Biden undid all that. In fact, even before he came into office, the people overseas, including smugglers, responded to Biden's rhetoric and his expected actions by increasing, their illegal crossings. But what they called it in Spanish was la invitación, the invitation. And that's not just me making it up. One of our people went to Texas and actually spoke with a smuggler, not some kingpin, just the guy, on the ground in the river who does the smuggling. He was happy to talk to him. He said, he called it la invitación, the invitation from Joe Biden to cross the border. And the thing is that it's not totally open in the sense of you just walk across like it's a county line or something like that. There's still some enforcement. Some number of people are still sent back because of these COVID rules that the Border Patrol can just bounce people back across the border. But if you come from certain nationalities and especially if you have a kid with you, you're basically just let into the country, even though you cross the border illegally. And since Biden took office, he has let go into the U.S. more than 1 million illegal aliens. Some of them will show up for hearings. Some of them won't. But even if they show up for hearings, if they eventually get turned down in the end, as most will, they won't get asylum, they just stay. Nobody's looking for them. This administration has no intention of finding them or removing them. So we have what I call an open-ish border. So it's inviting and luring people to come here, but it's still making it hard for some of them. So there's still some actual smuggling going on, which means you end up with tragedies like we saw at that truck in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. So this and this was a recent decision here by the Supreme Court in, regarding the Remain in Mexico policy. And just what was it last week? They allowed this an ending to this policy. So what impact is this going to have? What do we anticipate in days to come as a result of the Biden administration lifting the policy?
Well, this particular decision probably won't have that much of an effect, which is a little bit of sort of good news, because the administration had already ended, for all intents and purposes, the Remain in Mexico program that I mentioned. A lower federal judge, a lower court, said, no, you need to keep that in place. And so what the administration did was sort of, you know, barely comply with the judge's order. To give you an idea, in the 6 months ending in May, the end of May, 1.2 million illegal immigrant encounters, as they call them now in PC terminology, basically 1.2 million illegal alien apprehensions. Of those 1.2 million, only 5,000 were put in Remain in Mexico by this administration, so that it was already basically a dead letter. And I'm actually kind of optimistic, in a sense, because even though this was a small win for the administration, it allows them to end this program, the underlying questions in this lawsuit have not been answered. The basic question is, if the administration isn't going to do Remain in Mexico, and it's not going to detain people in the U.S., because those are the two options that the law gives an administration when somebody crosses the border illegally, what they're doing instead is just letting them go. Hundreds of thousands of people they're letting go under what's called parole, which is different from criminal parole. It's an immigration term. They're just letting them go. Parole is supposed to be for a handful of people, one by one. It's like, your mom is going to die tomorrow. We don't have time for a visa, so we're going to let you in. It's that kind of thing. They're letting hundreds of thousands of people in under that kind of arrangement. It's clearly illegal. And that's the question Supreme Court has not decided. What they did is they sent the case back to the lower court. Next year, it's likely to end up back before the Supreme Court dealing with these important questions. And when that happens, I think the administration is not going to win the way they did a couple weeks ago.
Mark, you mentioned some numbers here of apprehensions from the Department of Homeland Security. Do these numbers that they put out, do they really give us an accurate picture as to the numbers of people that are actually crossing the border?
They give you a partial picture. I mean, in one sense, they're higher than the real number. In another sense, they're lower. So let me explain what I mean. In May, there was the largest number of illegal alien apprehensions, like I said, encounters, they call them, ever for 1 month, ever in history. It was close to a quarter million. It was 230-something thousand. Now, some share of those people were bounced back under that what's called Title 42. It's a COVID-related temporary authority that allows them to do that. So the number who got in is smaller. But the number who got in who were taken into custody by the Border Patrol doesn't count what they call gotaways. And gotaways, obviously, from the name, people who got away, but they don't just, that doesn't just mean guesses from the Border Patrol. Those are people the Border Patrol actually has pictures of or has, you know, saw the footprints or whatever, but didn't get them because the border had to be stripped of all the agents to process the illegal immigrant groups, you know, with family groups that came over 200, 300, 400 at a time, where the Border Patrol has to deal with these people. The rest of the border is unguarded, but there's still cameras taking pictures. So that gotaway number is at least 40,000, probably more, in any given month. So, you know, that number that they talk about, the monthly arrest number, it does tell you something. It's just not on its own just a straight number you can add onto the pile of the illegal aliens who are already here.
Yeah. So you mentioned Title 42, and we know that this past May that there was this attempt to terminate this Title 42, but that was stopped. So if I could just have you define for our listeners, refresh them, what is Title 42, and do you anticipate that it will be removed?
Title 42 is a public health measure. It's not even part of immigration law. And the reason it was basically kicked into effect is because the point was, let's not detain these illegal immigrants in facilities where they'll all be passing COVID to each other and everybody else. Let's just bounce them back quickly. And what that means is no hearings, no asylum claim, no nothing. You're just thrown back into Mexico. The problem is that because it's a public health measure, it's not going to last forever unless Congress changes the law, which actually they may be doing. And the Democrats in the House, at least in the committee, kind of, you know, looked the other way and allowed it to happen. So it might change. But until it changes, when the, you know, pandemic's over, that's kind of got to end. And the administration tried to end it. They were stopped because of procedural matters. They didn't jump through the hoops they needed to jump through. They're going to try to end it unless Congress stops them. They're going to probably succeed in ending it. And if they do end this authority the Border Patrol is using to bounce at least some of the illegals back out, the numbers are going to explode even more than they are now. The Homeland Security Department itself fears that illegal immigrant arrests could double or more at the border when Title 42 is ended. And it's already many times higher than under the Obama administration. The Homeland Security Secretary then thought the numbers he was dealing with were unsustainable. And it's six, seven, eight times more than that now.
You heard me quote from Sheriff Roy Boyd at the head of the program here today. He's actually calling this an invasion. Do you agree with him, or is he just being sensational with this?
Well, it depends what you mean. I mean, in a colloquial sense, sure, clearly it's an invasion, although it's an invasion that this administration is welcoming and inviting.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually means something legal, too, and that's the issue, because the Constitution says that states can't, you know, wage war except in case of invasion. And so the question that at some point probably is going to end up before the Supreme Court, nothing's happened yet, there's no case, but it will at some point, is what does the word invasion mean in the Constitution, in that context? And that's, you know, I don't know. In other words, that's not obvious, because obviously these people are, I mean, the cartels are armed, but the illegal immigrants generally themselves are just regular working stiffs. You know, some of them are good, some of them are bad, they're like anybody else. And so who knows what the Supreme Court would decide? And honestly, that is in other words, that's not obvious. That's not like the phony baloney abortion stuff, you know, in penumbras and emanations and all that stuff they were making up.
Mm-hmm.
This really would be a question of having to judge. In other words, looking at what that word meant in the 1700s when they wrote this, and what, you know, what does it mean? And so I don't know that under that, in that context, that the Supreme Court would actually find this to be, legally speaking, an invasion.
Mark Krikorian, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And folks, the border crisis is getting worse, and we're discussing that here today. We'll have some more information to break down here in this next segment, and also we'll be looking at what can common, ordinary people across this nation do in such a time as this. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how far away is Mars?
Chris, both Mars and Earth are orbiting the sun at different distances. The Earth circles the sun every year, but Mars, being at a different distance and a different speed, has a different timetable. In their elliptical travels, Earth passes Mars every 780 days or so, and at that time is as close as it's going to be for another 2.5 years. In August of 2004, they came the closest ever, but still over 55 million kilometers of distance between them. Chris, the orbits of the planets and the moons are so precise that we can calculate exactly where they'll be at a point in the future. This was God's purpose for the heavenly bodies, to help men keep time. Chris, I think they have accomplished their back to Genesis purpose well, don't you?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and we thank the Lord for a good week last week at Trail Ridge Camp out of Hillsboro, Wisconsin, ministering to the young people there during the chapel sessions, and continue to keep that ministry in prayer here for the summer. Well, folks, we're talking about the border crisis and its worsening at our southern border. Mark Krikorian is with us here today. He is the Executive Director of Center for Immigration Studies. Their website, CIS.org, and you're not going to get the major media narrative on their website. They're going to tell you the truth as to what's going on there. Mark, we were talking about the Sheriff Roy Boyd, and he also indicated in an interview that the average Border Patrol agent wants to do something, but their hands are tied by the Biden administration. How are their hands being tied?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Look, Border Patrol agents signed up to defend America's borders. And instead, under this administration, they're been turned into the welcome wagon for illegal aliens. I mean, literally, they're like Walmart greeters. They can't take these illegal immigrants who are turning themselves in because they're saying the magic words about asylum. They can't take them into custody and send them back, you know, put them into deportation. They have to, you know, they take their information, they process them. That's the wording the administration likes using. Take their information, you know, take their picture, whatever it is, and then give them a piece of paper, and they literally drop them off at the bus station in McAllen, Texas. I was there a couple months ago. That's in all the way down in southern Texas. They were dropping off so many people, busloads of them, at the bus station to, you know, call their relatives and get a bus ticket to go to wherever, Miami or Washington or L.A. or wherever they're going, that the community and the local Catholic charities and some other people set up this facility, a respite center, they call it, just so that they'd have somewhere instead of just walking around on the streets. But the Border Patrol, you know, this is not what they signed up for.
Right.
In fact, there was this big report that came out recently, you know, on that fake whipping story.
Yes.
Where supposedly, the report came out, said, well, there was no whipping, but, you know, we still think they did something wrong. Basically, they were just covering for the president's comments. They had to find something because the president said these guys had done something, so they had to make up something. But it was an interesting thing in the report. There was a line that said, at no time was the Border Patrol's policy to prevent people from crossing the border into the United States.
My.
It's like, what?
My.
That's their whole job.
Right.
So you can see why they're really demoralized at the Border Patrol. And frankly, this administration's goal is to demoralize both ICE and the Border Patrol.
Well,
they don't want them to do their job.
And I mean, you brought up the whipping thing here. Some months ago, I mean, President Biden literally threw these Border Patrol agents under the bus, I mean, claiming they were whipping illegal immigrants at the border. He talked about horses running them over, people being strapped. I have not, you know, I know that Customs and Border Protection announced this past Friday that these agents have been cleared of any wrongdoing, but I sure have not heard any apology from the president or from the White House.
No, there's not going to be any apology. The guy who took the pictures that, you know, were in all the newspapers, even he said, yeah, there was no whipping. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The reporter taking the pictures. He says, there's no whipping. And the report that just came out, like I said, also said, look, yeah, there was no whipping. But they said, yeah, but they used excessive force and did something or other.
Right.
Basically, in order for to cover for the president is really kind of what it amounts to.
Yeah.
Once the president said, well, this is terrible and it cannot stand, these people worked for him. They had to make up something to, you know, to cover for the president and the vice president's ridiculous and irresponsible comments.
So the vice president, the border crisis was assigned to her. Whatever happened with that?
Yeah, good question. What happened to it is nothing at all. I mean, the president assigned this to her, and she immediately backed away and said, no, I'm only dealing with root causes. And then eventually went to Guatemala, and even the president of Guatemala said, the root cause is your country's policy.
Go back to the Oval Office.
People to come there.
Yeah, the Oval Office would show the root problem for that.
Yeah, the root problem is sitting in the White House. That's the root cause of this. So there's really, you know, I mean, there's not much she can do about it. In a sense, I mean, I don't feel bad for her because I don't feel bad for her, but she's in a no-win position, And even if she weren't the worst politician in American history, which she really seems to be just as a matter of being a politician, I don't think that she would be able to successfully deal with this because, you know, it's administration policy to let all these people in. Well, once you're going to do that, people are going to, you know, once word gets out, more people are going to come. Why wouldn't they?
More people accept the invitation. Let's talk about Texas for a bit here. 1,254 miles of border with Mexico. And we know Texas Governor Abbott has not been silent on this issue. He's put together Operation Lone Star. What exactly is Operation Lone Star? What actions are we seeing from the governor here?
It's a broad effort by the Department of Public Safety. That's basically the state police, which includes the troopers and the you know, famous Texas Rangers and basically state law enforcement to do what they can to deal with illegal immigration. They're in some places, they're actually blocking the border. I mean, they did that last fall when this started, you know, when that Del Rio mess happened. That's where the supposed whipping and everything was happening.
Yeah.
They actually went down to physically block the border. They're also arresting people on state crimes. For instance, what they're doing is they go to landowners on the border and they say, you know, can we, if we catch an illegal alien on your land, you know, will you attest that that's trespassing so we can prosecute? And so they got a whole bunch of landowners do that. So they're arresting people for trespassing, and that's a state offense. I mean, feds can't, they have nothing to say about that. The problem is, if they get a DA, because in each county the DA decides whether they're going to prosecute, if the DA does prosecute for trespassing, okay, they lock the person up for, say, 30 days in the county jail. Well, then what do they do with them? They can't deport them. ICE isn't allowed to take them into custody. What they can do, and they just started this, a sheriff started this, and now I think the state police are doing it too, is they're driving them to the port of entry, which is the, you know, crossing point on the bridge, and then saying, hey, Mexico's over there, why don't you go and leave? They can't make them leave because they don't have the authority to deport people. The ACLU is already suing even for taking them to the port of entry and saying, you know, why don't you go that way? All of that boils down to the fact that a state, any state, even Texas, can do a little bit to try to limit illegal immigration if the federal government is actually promoting it, but they can't really stop it. It can only help around the edges. Until administration policy in Washington changes, there's just not that much any state can do about it.
So what you're, I just want to make sure you're hearing this right, Mark, you're saying Texas has zero authority to deport. Regardless if they are violating laws of Texas, they themselves cannot deport.
Yeah, no, it's illegal. Literally, it's a violation of federal law. If they were to, say, you know, take somebody in handcuffs to the border and hand them over to Mexican authorities.
I mean, okay.
They can be prosecuted for that.
Makes me just want
to
say,
what they can do is take them to the port of entry and say, hey, Border Patrol guys, would you please take these people or something? Yeah. So they can do something like that, but they cannot actually deport people. They would actually be prosecuted for that.
Isn't that something? Because it's illegal, but we got illegal entry coming into our nation.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, good question.
So what impact has Governor Abbott's loading illegals on buses, dropping them off at our nation's capital? Has that had any impact, or is that just more for political points?
I don't know.
There?
I mean, I think it's mainly symbolic. Now, it doesn't mean it's bad because symbolism is important in politics, but it's not changing anybody's thinking in Washington. Let's put it that way. I think it is more of a political stunt, but I don't mean that in a derogatory sense because, you know, politics is stunts. Mm-hmm. Reagan standing in front of the Berlin Wall was a stunt. You know what I mean? But it was a stunt that mattered. So I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying that I don't know how much actual numerical effect it will have or how much it will dissuade politicians in Washington from just continuing to do what they're doing anyway.
Mark Krikorian with us today. Their website, cis.org, that stands for Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, I'd like to talk to you about, have you addressed the border policies and what this means to the cartels? And I'm talking both about drugs as well as human trafficking. If I could have you paint the picture of what's taken place there.
Sure. The cartels don't do the smuggling of people themselves. What they do, there's other groups that do that, usually smaller groups. What they do is they collect a toll because different cartels control different stretches of the Mexican border, and you can't pass through it without paying a toll, you know, paying the toll basically to the cartel. So they're making the cartels, even though they're not smuggling the illegal aliens themselves for the most part, they're making money hand over fist with no work and no risk. So for them, this is just that part of it is, you know, gravy. But it's worse than that because they actually use this border crisis to facilitate their smuggling of fentanyl and other drugs, as well as illegal aliens who, you know, who are real bad guys that even under Biden might get arrested and deported. And the way that's usually done, this is, I mean, I'm laughing, but it's not a laughing matter. What they do is they tell the alien smuggler, okay, you've got this group of 200 families. You're going to move at this point in the border at this time of day. That's when you're going to cross them. And don't ask what's going on 5 miles upriver. Because what happens is the Border Patrol has to strip all of its agents off the border to deal with these huge groups of people. They've got to, you know, do their process them and all of that nonsense. Sometimes they have to take them to hospitals because a lot of women come across, you know, ready to give birth. That's not a myth. That's a real thing. Others may be sick. Others, there's all kinds of stuff. They had to go to Walmart and buy diapers and baby formula for the illegal aliens. Well, when there are whole stretches of the border with nobody patrolling them, guess what? The cartels use that as an opportunity. In fact, they don't just use an opportunity. That's a strategy to get stuff across the border that otherwise they might still be able to get across, but the odds wouldn't be as good. So the smuggling, the regular illegal immigrants coming across and turning themselves in, they're not carrying fentanyl, but their presence is in fact facilitating the smuggling of fentanyl and other drugs, and frankly, criminals and, you know, God forbid, terrorists who, like I said, even under Biden would get taken into custody and deported if they were caught.
Human trafficking, though, going on as well?
Oh, absolutely. Now, the important thing to distinguish here, trafficking and smuggling, a lot of people use those as the same thing. They're not interchangeable. We have a paper coming out on this soon. Smuggling is where you're part of the conspiracy. You're paying to be smuggled. Trafficking is some kind of coercive thing. White slavery, they called it in the old days. Mm-hmm. You know, people being coerced, kidnapped, tricked, something to work, and they end up in prostitution or some kind of forced labor or what have you. But there's also a lot, and there is a lot of that, too. And sometimes smuggling turns into trafficking because you pay to be smuggled, and then when you get across the border, they lock you up in a stash house, and they call your relatives, and they say, well, we're going to kill them if you don't give us twice as much money. So that's, you know, the alien smugglers, the cartels, the drug cartels are not so much into that. They just take money. The alien smugglers do that kind of thing, and they really are the scum of the earth.
Mark Krikorian, our guest here today on Crosstalk from the Center for Immigration Studies. Friends, I've got a couple more pieces of info we're going to get from our guest today, and then we'll be giving you opportunity to call in to ask your questions, so be ready for that as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Stay with us.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Well, friends, we thank you for tuning into Crosstalk, where daily we discuss the issues to give you another perspective of what's going on, not from the mainstream media, but really to present the truth of what's taking place today, focusing at the border crisis. It's getting worse. With us today is Mark Krikorian, and he is a nationally recognized expert on immigration issues, is the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, and certainly has cared and worked on this issue for many, many years. Mark, you mentioned that, you know, God forbid terrorists coming across these borders here as well. We know that there have been those who are on the terror watch list who have been caught. And I just saw a report from Judicial Watch recently that in Tijuana, they've opened a Muslim migrant shelter to help Muslims gain asylum in the U.S. And to many, that's saying, hey, that's rather concerning.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the illegal immigration across the border is not just Mexican men anymore. You know, 20 years ago, it was almost all single adult Mexicans. I mean, literally like 99%. There were so few people who were not Mexican that the Border Patrol actually had an acronym or an abbreviation called OTM, Other Than Mexican. And so everybody wasn't Mexican, and there weren't very many of them. They were just called OTMs. Mm-hmm. Well, now, most illegal immigrants are not Mexican, the ones who cross the border. And it's, you know, at first, obviously, it's people from Central America and from Haiti and Cuba and South America. But now that word has gotten out, you're getting people from all over, including the Middle East, from Africa. You're getting gypsies from Romania, people from Tajikistan and Eritrea, you name it. One of our analysts who studies the border issue pretty carefully, Todd Benzman, he's traveled down to Central America a number of times, and he went down to the Costa Rica-Nicaragua border. So because people come in from South America, usually Ecuador, because it's easy to get a visa, and then they work their way up. You know, they ride, take a bus, whatever it is, all the way up to our border. Well, on that border in Costa Rica, there was this unofficial town. It's not on a map anywhere, but it's run by smugglers, basically. And they have hotels, sort of, unofficial hotels, rooming houses, and people sign in with their names and what country they're from. He's gone down there, he's looked at the picture, Mauritania, Eritrea, you name it, wow. Everywhere in the world, because word has gotten out, this invitation has gotten out around the world.
Mark, I saw an article last week from Todd Starnes, and he said that President Biden is using taxpayer funds to then ship illegal alien minors out of Texas in order to obtain an abortion at taxpayer expense. Any word on any knowledge you have of that?
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean, I know about the immigration-related stuff where they're moving people, you know, unaccompanied minors around the country to join with their relatives. Mm-hmm. And that we are paying for, too. But I don't know about the abortion part.
Okay. Also, Newsmax is reporting that President Biden's going to complete a section of the border wall in California. Any truth to that?
Well, what they said they were going to do is fix some holes and patches that have been made. And the one in California they're talking about is the very end of the fence in San Diego, where it meets the Pacific Ocean. There's it's kind of disintegrating there. It's falling apart because it wasn't properly treated, and it's, you know, seawater and all that stuff. So that they're apparently, they said they're going to fix and complete. And there are other holes that I think they're going to patch, but I don't know that for sure. When was it? It was last fall. I went to New Mexico, west of El Paso, where there's a rancher showed us the gap, like a 3/4 of a mile gap in the fence, because they were building it from both sides to meet. And on inauguration day, Biden told the construction people everywhere, put your tools down, step away, not one more foot to be built. So there was this hole that's funneling traffic through his ranch. That's the kind of thing supposedly they're going to fix, but I'll believe it when I see it. And right. Why did it take them a year and a half to even decide that?
Right, anyway? Right. Friends, our phone lines are available for you. If you've got a question you'd like to ask about immigration or policies, we've been primarily focusing here on the southern border today, but there's a lot of issues going on. A number of you listening in Texas as well have concerns as to what's happening to your state right now, as is the rest of the nation, as illegal immigrants are really making that infiltration all throughout the nation. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Mark, as people hear all that's going on, they said, you know, I'm just one person. What can I do? Is there anything people can do to make a difference on this issue?
Well, the first thing you can do is sort of get educated on what's going on. And for that, you go to our website at cis.org. You can sign up for our emails. We have a blog that has new posts every day. After that, the next thing I'd recommend is getting involved with a group called Numbers USA. And that's all one word on numbersusa.com. And they're a citizen action group that does lobbying. They have millions of people on their network. They have actually more Facebook followers than the NRA does. They're probably the most consequential group in Washington that most people have never heard of. And it's free. You can give them money if you want, but there's no fee to get involved. And they actually give people direct information about what's going on in this committee at this day. And here's the four people that you should contact. And here's the kinds of things you should tell them when you call, that sort of thing. Detailed stuff, very effective. So like I said, first CIS.org, and then to act as a citizen, to make your voice heard, numbersusa.com.
And how critical, I know you're nonpartisan as we, but how critical do you see this November election as it relates to the immigration matter?
It's pretty important. Now, that's not because if Republicans take the House, as is almost certain, and they might even take the Senate, it's not that they're going to be able to stop what Biden's doing altogether. Because if the executive doesn't want to enforce the law, it's kind of hard to make him without removing him. And even if he were removed, then you would just have Kamala Harris as president. That wouldn't change anything. And if she were removed, well, then you'd end up with Nancy Pelosi as president. So anyway, there's a limit to what they can do. But it's essential that that happen, because there are two big things Republicans can do if they take the House, at least. One is they have power of the purse. So they can get into kind of government shutdown fights that, you know, you can't use money on X, Y, and Z. And then the president would veto it, and then you'd have drama. But the point is, that's an important thing to do, a marker to put down. And the other thing they can do is have hearings, oversight, they call it. In other words, subpoena people and say, okay, now, what did you say? What does this memo mean? Why are you doing this? Get that stuff out in the open. So, it does matter a lot if the Republicans take control of either or both houses of Congress, or if they don't. It will actually make some difference.
Well, our lines are packed, and so let's go right to the phone lines. We'll begin with Maureen calling in. Hi, Maureen, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'd like to ask the question. It says in our Constitution that we can abolish the government if the government is not protecting us, and so on. And I'd like to know why we aren't talking about getting that done. And then also, can I, as an American citizen and my friends in my area, sue the government for not protecting us by keeping that border open and not doing anything about it?
Thank you, Maureen. We'll have Mark respond.
Well, the first part is from the Declaration of Independence. It's not in the Constitution. But what you can do, see, the lawsuits thing, that is an important question. Because if the government, the Constitution says the president shall faithfully execute the laws. Well, how do you make that stick? And frankly, until not that long ago, until a few years ago, even not only could individual citizens not sue, but even states couldn't sue. Now, states can sue. There was a precedent. The Supreme Court said, look, the states have to bear a cost of these illegal aliens. They have to do things like education and issue them driver's licenses and all that stuff. That's a cost. So they get to sue. They have what's called standing to sue. That has been a big deal because states all over the union have been suing the administration over its immigration policies, and it's definitely thrown a monkey wrench. It hasn't stopped it, but it's made it harder for them to do what they're doing. We actually had a panel discussion recently with Ken Cuccinelli, former DHS official and Attorney General of Virginia, talking about some of these lawsuits. But the final thing I'd say on this is one of the things the Congress, the next Congress or the one after, when they pass immigration, a big immigration bill, as they likely will, there needs to be a provision in there allowing just what the caller brought up, allowing individual citizens who can show that they have some kind of cost that they had to bear because of this policy, allow them to sue. It works that way in environmental law. All kinds of people can sue. It doesn't work that way in immigration law, and that's one of the things that has to be at the top of the list for Congress when the Republicans take over to try to change.
Tony is our next caller. Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
I have a question and a comment that kind of took the young woman by storm. I've called Governor Greg Abbott's office and the lieutenant governor. This is an act of war, an invasion. Why can't the citizens of Texas and the United States just start shooting these people as they come across the border? That's the only way to stop this.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's not actually the only way. If Border Patrol were just allowed to do its job and ICE was allowed to do its job and the White House wasn't obstructing them, this is something that can be controlled. President Trump didn't solve everything on immigration. There was a lot of stuff that still had to get done, but he stabilized the border. Biden came in and broke it. So it doesn't require shooting people. And, you know, frankly, most of these people are not armed. You know, when armed people are attacking us, we have a natural God-given right to defend ourselves. These people are just ordinary working stiffs. They're regular schmoes who are taking us up on our ridiculous offer to come here illegally. So, I'm afraid there's going to be, you know, the frustration is going to lead to that kind of thing. Yeah. And I hope we can avoid that.
Yeah, very tragic. And Joe Biden, I mean, he actually forecasts what he was going to do here, Mark. And as you pointed out earlier, he is fulfilling what he said along the campaign trail that he was going to do if he were elected president.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, even before he was nominated, in January of 2020, before we knew who would be the Democratic nominee, my analyst in Texas went down to Mexico, southern Mexico, and talked to Central American illegals who had crossed into Mexico and said, you know, what's your plan? What are you guys thinking? All of them said, well, we're coming into Mexico. We're going to apply for some kind of visa here so we can tread water until the Democrats win, and then we know they're going to let us in.
Wow.
So in other words, everybody in the world already knew this.
Right.
This wasn't a surprise.
Thank you for the call. We are up against a break, and Mark Krikorian is with us here today. We'll take the break and come back to more of your phone calls here at 800-733-9829. Mark's website, and again, you can sign up, get the email alerts and information as they go out. Go to CIS.org. That stands for Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, a caller to my program cautioned Christians about being patriotic, confusing it with nationalism. Let me make something very clear. Oftentimes, the word nationalism can be intertwined with the word patriotism. But you have to understand, there's a good nationalism and a bad nationalism. The good nationalism recognizes national sovereignty, borders, our own currency, our own laws, our own history, our own culture. Then there's the bad nationalism, like Adolf Hitler or Mussolini. The state is of primary importance. Don't confuse patriotism, which is about understanding the constitutional republic of America, the laws of nature, and nature's God, and thus saith the Lord, with the bad nationalism. The liberals and globalists want you to do that, so you stop practicing patriotism, the defense of God-given rights and morals.
Mark Krikorian, our guest here today on Crosstalk from Center for Immigration Studies. Lines are packed. We're going to go right back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Beth is calling next in West Alice, Wisconsin. Beth, you're on the air.
Yes, I just one observation that I have when I see these videos of them getting on the bus is I see they have these real nice clean clothes and Adidas tennies and cell phones, and they look really healthy. So I don't know if they're coming here for a better life, but I think they're coming here for the freebies, like you said, because if they come over here and they're going to definitely vote for the Dems, like your guest said, and they're definitely going to be guaranteed the freebies. But, you know, the big problem here is our own people. Citizens born, raised here are suffering right now, big time, people that were productive. So it's like, you know, I really have a frustration, too, in that we're not taking care of our homegrown, and it's getting worse and worse. But we have to now take on all these illegals coming over the border besides, and I don't see where more governors are putting more pressure, you know, at least the ones that are conservative, you know, on the federal government. I know they're limited because this whole government's corrupt, obviously. But something has to be done, because I'm telling you, it's just horrible for the people that are here. That used to be nice middle-class people. We can't keep taking more on, paying more out, and having nothing to work with.
Mm. Great point here, Beth. Mark, your response.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's an interesting, there's an angle to this. People say, well, our unemployment rate is low, and so what's the problem? They're all going to get jobs anyway, so that's good for us. But the fact is that we have more people out of the labor market, working-age people who have dropped out of the job market altogether, than we've ever had. The percentage is higher than it's ever been. We just released a report just given the updated numbers on that. There are millions of people fewer who are millions fewer people working percentage-wise in the labor market than there were, say, 10 or 15 years ago. This is before COVID. And what illegal immigration does, or any kind of immigration does, is it eliminates the incentive for business and government and society to figure out how do we get these people back into the job market, which is not just an economic thing, because a job is more than just a way to earn money. You could just give somebody a welfare check. He has money. A job is a way of participating in society, of being, you know, social, of interacting with other people. It is essential. And what we're doing is essentially saying, look, these Americans who are hurting, and they may have all kinds of problems. I mean, but we don't care about them. We're just going to import some Guatemalans to do the work instead. That's just, it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
not care fulfilling our responsibility to our fellow citizens.
Barry is calling next. Hi, Barry, you're on the air.
God bless, gentlemen. Quick question. With all the fentanyl pouring across the border because of these open border policies of this administration, is not the president violating his oath of office to protect and defend the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic?
Good question. I think he is, but what's the solution to that? You can't bring a lawsuit. The solution is political, ultimately, because not everything can be solved through suing somebody in the courts. The solution is you make the case for that consistently so that, first of all, the president loses his majority in Congress, and then his party isn't reelected in, next November, in 2024. So I agree with you totally. I just don't, the solution to that is political. Congress could impeach him. The Senate's not going to remove him. It would just end up helping him just like it helped Trump, and it helped Clinton before that. Ultimately, the solution has to be in the ballot box.
Thanks for the call here, Barry. We have Eddie in Texas. Eddie, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you, brother. I just want to make two comments on the situation here on our borders. Number one is that, the cartels, how they are, their tactics they're using on how to control these immigrants coming across our borders, they're using wristbands, different color wristbands, red, green, yellow, you name it, blue. And that's how they're separating families. And I don't know how they're working those deals that they're making here, but there's piles of those wristbands that these people are using. You know, when the cartels what they're using, how to distribute all these people coming across our borders. And the other comment I wanted to make: people need to be very aware of the coming up elections on Biden. On Greg Abbott and Beto O'Rourke. You know, Beto O'Rourke gets into office. You know, we're done. We're done here. You know, that's it for us here. Wow. You know, we saw how he interrupted his rally that Joe Biden had. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry,
Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You know, but I mean, people need to be very careful on how they're gonna, preserve their vote. That's the comment I wanted to make, brother.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate that, and that brings up, you know, a very important issue here about the Texas elections as well. Not just what happens in D.C., it's what's going to happen in Texas this fall as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, whatever the limits are on what Governor Abbott can do, I mean, he's doing things, like I said, there's a limit to how effective they can be. But, you know, if Beto O'Rourke somehow ended up being governor, that wouldn't be happening. It would be going the other way. And thankfully, there isn't much danger of that, quite frankly. I mean, he's going to get annihilated in November. But nonetheless, it does highlight the importance. The wristband thing is important. We actually have some of these here because my people have gone and picked them up off the ground there. The different smuggling cartels have different color wristbands like you would have in a water park. In fact, we have one with little whales on it that I think they bought from a company that sells them to water parks.
Wow.
So they can keep track of which alien belongs to which smuggling group and whether they've paid up or not. And then when they get across the border, they don't need them anymore. They've finished their job. And so the aliens cut them off and dump them. And you just find thousands of them on the, you know, on the side of the tracks there next to the Rio Grande.
Let's squeeze in one last call. Maxine in Conneaut, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. I was wondering how many single men are coming across.
The percentage, it's not exact. We don't know exactly, but it's something like half, roughly, are single men, which is, again, it was 99% single men just 20 years ago. So, that's not single men, that's men overall, because some of the men are coming with kids and women and kids, too. So probably half, a little less than half, are just single men on their own coming over, and they're generally not turning themselves in. They're trying to sneak past the Border Patrol and get away, and a lot of them do.
Thank you, Maxine, for the call. We are out of time here. Mark Krikorian, our guest. The website, again, cis.org, cis.org. Mark, we appreciate you just helping to inform the nation more through CIS and joining us here on the program today.
Thank you.
And folks, check out their site, sign up for their emails, and you'll be so well informed, more informed than the mainstream media. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.